Welcome to the Chalkboard, my fellow football nerds, for episode number 157 of Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Shane Half, and you can follow me on Twitter and YouTube at ShaneHaffNFL. I'm joined today by the best co-host in the game. You've heard him on the Tough Cover radio show. It is Mark Henry Jr. Give him a follow on Twitter at MarkHenryJr_. Mark, how are you doing tonight?
As Shane knows, I am delirious right now, so you can't hold anything I say on this podcast against me. So, 9 months from now, when Detroit Lions fans or whoever this year's Detroit Lions version is gets upset with whatever grades I give out on the show, I'm delirious right now, so it doesn't count. No, I'm joking. I was at a work conference in Nashville. I've tweeted about it a bunch. Had a lot of fun, but worked my face off, and I can't tell you how happy I am to be talking about the NFL draft instead of work. So absolutely excited to be here.
All right. Well, we are going to dive into our AFC draft grades. If you're a fan of an NFC team and you missed last week's episode, we covered every draft in the NFC. We're going to go through the AFC teams with the same format this week. We're going to give best value pick, worst value pick, the biggest regret, and then we're going to hand out grades for each team. So let's lead it off with the AFC East. We'll start with the Buffalo Bills draft. They traded out of the first round after two trade backs, one with the Chiefs, one with the Panthers. And they took wide receiver Keon Coleman at pick 33 and safety Cole Bishop at pick 60. In the third round, they took Dwayne Carter. And then on day three, they made a bunch of picks. They got Ray Davis, Cedric Van Pran Granger. I'm not even going to attempt this name, the linebacker, because I would butcher it horribly. Do you know how to say this name, Mark?
No chance.
Okay. Javon Solomon, defensive end, Tylan Grable, Daquan Hardy, and Travis Clayton. You know, I always said, like, it always annoys me when you're watching like a sports cast and somebody doesn't know how to pronounce a name. It's like, it's literally your job. Nobody handed me the pronunciation guide for Edifon Olufashio.
Yeah.
Dives would probably know how to say the name. So I at least gave it a shot, but linebacker out of Washington. So I had my best value pick, and I think you'll probably have the same thing, is interior offensive lineman Cedric Van Pran Granger. He was my number 77. I think you probably had him higher. I remember talking about him last year when we thought he was going to come out and he went back for another season. Ultimately, he didn't see his stock rise, but he was drafted at 141, almost, you know, basically twice the spot where I had him slotted in. I thought that was a great value pick for the Bills. Is that what you had too?
Yeah, absolutely. I love Cedric Van Pran. I think he's a guy who can honestly start right away. And I think there's a chance that they will ask him to do that because they do have some needs there on the interior offensive line. I had SVP at 57 overall. So to get him at 141 is pretty crazy value. Something I struggle with a lot of my draft grades in general here is that so many of the teams that I didn't like what they did early went out and got so many guys I liked late. Like, you go out and you draft. For instance, I gave Buffalo a C here, but they have five top 100 players for three top 100 picks. So realistically, I should probably be higher on it because I like Dwayne Carter. I think there's a lot of upside there. Ray Davis is one of my favorite running backs in this class. Like I just said, Cedric Van Pran Granger, guy I really like. Javon Solomon is a guy who I had ranked in my top 100. But I'm not a fan of Cole Bishop. I don't get the Cole Bishop hype. And with Keon Coleman, I didn't like anything about the Keon Coleman pick. I'm not a Keon Coleman guy, and I didn't like the idea that they traded down with Kansas City and handed Kansas City the guy they wanted on a gift, on a gift wrap platter. I just think there's certain teams you can't trade with. And when you're the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs own you, the Chiefs are one of those teams. So I had a hard time getting past that.
Yeah, I had my worst value pick for them was Cole Bishop. They took him at 60. I had him at 83. So I thought that was a bit of a reach. I don't hate Cole Bishop, you know, as a player, but that was a little rich for my blood. And I said my biggest regret was trading the Chiefs Xavier Worthy. I mean, how do you, and obviously this is a different caliber player, but a couple of years ago, you traded the Chiefs Patrick Mahomes. And look at what the guy has done to you throughout the postseason. And I can just envision now Xavier Worthy, overtime, NFL divisional round weekend, Chiefs on the road at Buffalo, goes to overtime, you know, the Bills drive down and they kick a field goal. The Chiefs get the ball and first play is a 75-yard touchdown to Xavier Worthy. I can already see the offseason headlines. And, you know, I'm not trying to put that curse on the Bills because I want the Bills to go to a Super Bowl. I want them to get over that hump. It just hurts to trade, you know, and if you don't like Xavier Worthy, that's fine. And he clearly wasn't their guy. Keon Coleman was clearly their guy because they kept trading back knowing where they could get him. You just better hope you were right about Xavier Worthy. And as you mentioned on the draft show, Xavier Worthy plays with Patrick Mahomes, and that probably makes him a shoe-in Hall of Famer now. Oh, you're talking on mute, Mark.
That's classic. That's classic. But it's one of those things where with receivers, I think more than any other position, it might be it might be dependent on your landing spot. Obviously, quarterback is really dependent as well, but receiver just it feels so dependent on that connection you have with the quarterback and the level of quarterback you get to play with right away. I mean, how many guys have the Giants drafted in the last couple of years? And I feel like we don't know if any of them are good or bad because Daniel Jones hasn't been able to get them the ball. But funny thing about Xavier Worthy, I'll save the Kansas City.
They did draft Kadarius Toney, and according to Andy Reid, he's one of the most talented players on the Chiefs roster. So
yeah, I was about to launch into my Kansas City draft grade session, and I was like, wait a second, we're still on Buffalo. So yeah, Buffalo gets a C here from me, even though I really, really like what they did, especially on day three.
Yeah, I gave them a C+. They had three top 100 picks. They got three of my top 100 players, and I gave them a C+. Nothing impressive, but I thought it was a fine draft overall. So yeah. Let's move on to a division mate for them. Let's go to the Miami Dolphins. And the Miami Dolphins in the first round took edge rusher Chop Robinson at pick 21. In the second round, they snagged offensive lineman Patrick Paul. And then on day three, they added Jalen Wright, Muhammad Kamara, Malik Washington, Patrick McMorris. There's a lot of mechs in this, I feel like. And then Taj Washington. So overall, I had my best value pick for them was wide receiver Malik Washington. He was not inside my top 100 personally, but he was 92 on the consensus big board, and they got him at 184. So I felt like that was really good value for them. Who did you have as the best value?
You already know he's one of my guys, Patrick Paul from Houston, offensive tackle. He's a guy who I've talked about throughout the entire draft process. And I was very bullish on the fact that he would be, at least a second round pick. So I'm happy he did go in the back end of the second round at 55. I thought with some of the traits that he had, he might actually, you know, climb up into that early second, maybe even late first. But for the Dolphins to get him at 55, I think I had him something like 34, I think I had him in a little bit lower than that, something like 27. But I hated the first round pick here. Patrick Paul's my best value. Chop Robinson's my worst value. I think we're kind of aligned on Chop. I think we're a little bit skeptical on some of the upside, and there's obvious reasons to buy in, but I just think I would have went different directions here if I was Miami. And I know they got Patrick Paul on the offensive line, and obviously that's going to slot in as offensive tackle for the future, and you've got a couple guys who have struggled to stay healthy. But I think if you're like looking at guys they could have taken over Chop, I would say they should have taken, you know, a Jackson Powers Johnson would have been a really good option. You're higher on Grant Barton than I am, but they needed an interior lineman, so Barton would have made some sense as well. I think Jerzon Newton would have made some sense. They're pretty weak at defensive tackle. Honestly, they're a little bit weaker than you think at corner as well. So I would have taken a look at, you know, any of the top four corners, the Quinions, the DeJeans, the Terrion Arnolds, the Nate Wiggins. I would have looked into all of those guys if I was Miami before I looked at Chop. So that's definitely my worst value there.
Yeah, I struggled to put a worst value on the board for them. And maybe that's a cop out, but I had Chop Robinson at 28. You take him at 21. I'm not going to hate on that too much. It's not the pick that I would have made. So if you forced me to pick a worst value, which is supposed to be the point of the exercise, I guess I would say Chop, but I don't really want to just like trash Chop because I thought that was okay where it was at. I would have gone a different way, but I said my biggest regret was taking Jalen Wright. I mean, Do you need another speed back with questionable vision inside? You have Raheem Mostert, who you signed to an extension. You've got him for 2 more years. You drafted Devon Achane last year. Like, it, and I understand, and, you know, if you are worried about Achane being hurt, or you're worried about Raheem Mostert, Raheem Mostert's been pretty healthy for 2 years, but why not take an Audric Estime to get some yards between the tackles? Like, I feel like Miami is leaning too far into the only thing we care about is speed. And you see that with Jalen Wright. You see it with the Chop Robinson pick. Like, go get a corner, get a Braylon Trice later, go get, you know, an Audric Estime. And I feel like there's diminishing returns when the only thing you care about is speed. And I feel like they're leaning into that and over prioritizing it. So, you know, overall, they only had 2 top 100 picks. They got 2 top 100 players for me. I gave the draft, I gave it a solid B. They didn't have a ton to work with. But overall, I guess from a value standpoint, I don't dislike what they did, but I do dislike some of the fits.
I gave it a C minus. I was lower on the Chop pick. I don't think edge was like a significant need for them either. So it's even less about Chop, who I think I had in the mid 30s. If I'm not mistaken of where I had Chop at, I'm getting a little blurry on where my rankings were already. But it's more about like, I would have devoted that pick to a lot of different positions than the way that they went. And even Patrick Paul, like, I love the pick and I get it because older offensive tackles, but like probably not a guy who's starting day one at all. So just kind of interesting the way they approach this draft as a team that should be trying to compete to win, I imagine. But as you would say, too, is their quarterback.
You had Chop at 37. So,
yeah.
All right, let's go on to the New York Jets, a team that is absolutely trying to win now while they still have a chance. In the first round, they took Olufoshanu, offensive lineman. In the third round, they took Malachi Corley, wide receiver. And then on day three, they took Braylon Allen, Jordan Travis, Isaiah Davis, Quantez Stiggers, and Jalen Key. Mark, I have to ask you, because we didn't talk about this off the air. Before you started prepping for this show, did you have a clue who Quantez Stiggers was?
No, absolutely not.
Did you dig into him at all and get his backstory?
No, give me it.
Burying the lead here, he was my worst value pick. He was 323 on the consensus big board, and they took him at 176. But he's only the third player since 1967 to be selected without attending college. So he went from high school. He played in the fan-controlled football league, and he used that to get a CFL contract. And then he was drafted from a CFL team by the Jets in the fifth round. So really cool story from a guy I had never even heard of. That said, he's still my worst value. Maybe, and again, I have not watched him. I just looked him up on the consensus big board, and maybe he's low because he slipped through the cracks. Maybe he should be higher than that. Maybe this will, you know, be an old takes exposed segment, but I thought that was a cool little deal there. But my best value for them, I put Olufoshanu. He was number 8 on my big board. They got him at 11. I thought it was the right move. I thought resisting the siren call of taking Brock Bowers was wise from a team with Morgan Moses and Tyron Smith as their offensive tackles. Both good players, both old, both prone to missing time. I thought Fashanu was a great pick there. It was my best value. What did you have for best and worst values?
I had Olufoshanu as my best value for all the reasons you laid out. It was the right pick. It was just as simple as that. It was the right pick. And if they took Bowers, I wouldn't have killed it. Because I'm so high on Bowers, I would have understood it. But Fashanu was the correct pick. My worst value, and this is just a way to make fun of a dumb quote, it's Jordan Travis. Jordan Travis came out and said he thinks a lot about becoming the QB of the future for the Jets. By the way, if you're a reporter asking that question, you should be fired. That's a terrible question to ask a fifth-round pick if you want to be the quarterback of the future for the Jets. No one has ever drafted anybody at any position in the fifth round and said, that's our blank for the future. It's a fifth round pick. That quote infuriated me, and it got like so much play all over Twitter because Jordan Travis was on a big college football team and people know his name. That annoyed me so much. That guy stinks. I'll just be quite honest about it.
He should have been like, no, I'm going to be the quarterback of today. I'm looking forward to beating out Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. He should say, you know what? I really hope I make the team. That's what he should say, if we're being honest. Like,
Yeah, so I had trading up. They traded up for Jordan Travis, by the way, and that was my biggest regret. Jordan Travis coming off a fractured leg ankle, he was viewed as a fringe NFL player to begin with. I really disliked the trade up for Travis, but they had two top 100 picks, got three of my top 100 players. I gave the Jets a B. How about you?
Yeah, I gave him a B+. I just love the Fashanu pick, and we didn't talk Malachi Corley, but I think that's a perfect kind of fit. With Wilson, with Mike Williams, really, really interesting kind of receiver trio there. So yeah, B+.
All right. We will round out this division with the New England Patriots, who selected Drake May, number 3 overall. Then they got Jalen Polk, wide receiver in the top of the second round. They got Caden Wallace in the 3rd round. And then on day 3, Laydon Robinson, Javon Baker, Marcellus Dial, Joe Milton, and Jaheim Bell. I have my best value pick for them was Jaheim Bell. He was 150 on the consensus big board. They got him at 231 overall. So I thought that was probably pretty good value there at the end of day 3. For my worst value, I put offensive tackle Caden Wallace. He was 150, I think it was, on the consensus. No, 172 on the consensus big board, and they took him at 68 overall. And it's like, okay, if you feel like you need a tackle, Kyren Amagaji was right there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a left tackle in college. Caden Wallace was a right tackle. They need a left tackle with Mike Nwenu locked in on the right side. So you drafted, in my view, a significantly worse tackle who now also has to switch sides. I thought that was a terrible pick.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on the Caden Wallace pick. Didn't like that pick. Whatsoever. They took him over Amagaji. I don't know how to say that name. I never will.
I think it's Amagaji, but Amagaji. I could be saying it totally wrong.
Amagaji. Next time we bring him up, I'll forget it again. It's just one of those names I can't ever get. But Amagaji, even if you wanted to go maybe interior O-line, and they did eventually do that with the next pick anyway, like Dom Pooney was out there from Kansas. Cooper Beebe was out there from Kansas State. Like, if you're just talking offensive line in a vacuum, those guys are just far better prospects. But I don't want to spend too much time killing New England, so I actually gave them an A here. Drake May is my best value, and it's that simple. I understand we're nerds. We're diving into, did they make the right fourth-round pick? Did they give up too much to trade here and there? But to be honest, sometimes I feel like I have to look at it from a bit more of a macro perspective and be like, you know what? They got Drake May at pick number 3, and I think Drake May goes number 1 in 90% of NFL drafts. Without a Caleb Williams, he gets pushed up to the number 1 pick because he was that good of a quarterback prospect, and I think we really spent way too much time nitpicking him. And for them to get him as the 3rd quarterback off the board in this draft is incredible value, and I think it's going to really, really kind of save a dead franchise right now, to be quite honest. And I love that they went 7 picks on the offensive side of the ball and 1 pick on defense, because throughout the entire process, I was talking about, like, the defense is actually, like, way better than you think. If you look at the names on it, like, there's a lot of names that still have produced recently, and offense, not a lot there to be excited about whatsoever. So I'm glad that they went with kind of like a culture shock draft here.
Yeah. For me, I put my biggest regret was just the state of the roster that Drake May is landing on. Their two most well-established weapons are Hunter Henry and Kendrick Bourne, who's coming off an ACL injury. But, I mean, all you can do is try to change that one off season at a time. And I thought they made a strong move, a strong statement to build around Drake May. I gave him a B+ for the draft, so I liked it as well. Let's roll on to the AFC South, and we'll kick things off with the Houston Texans, who did not have a first-round pick after the trade-up for Will Anderson last year. But they had 2 second-round picks they spent on Kamari Lassiter and Blake Fisher. In the 3rd round, they took Kalen Bullock. And then on day 3, Cade Stover, Jamal Hill, Jawar Jordan, Solomon Bird, Marcus Harris, and Ladarius Henderson. I had my best value for them being Kamari Lassiter. He was my number 29. I was higher on him than a lot of people were. I know the athletic testing scared some people, but they got him at 42. I had him at 29. So I thought that was a good value. My worst value for them was Blake Fisher. He was my number 95, and they took him at 59. And I just thought that was too early for Fisher. I thought it was a bit of a reach, maybe trying to pigeonhole a position in need, and I didn't like that pick. What about you?
Yeah, same exact thing. Not much to say here. Best value, Kamari Lassiter. I had him 33. position of need. I like throwing him in there. Worst value and regret go hand in hand. It's Blake Fisher. I'm a Notre Dame fan. That guy stinks. But I'll just be quite honest about it. Don't think he's an NFL player. Taking him at 59 is incredibly rich. And taking him over Kingsley Suamataia, Roger Rosengarten, Amagaji. I literally forgot how you just told me how to say
Amagaji.
Amagaji, Puni, and Galcaldez. I think all those guys are better prospects than Fisher. I did not have him in my top 100, so I gave him a C minus on this draft. I do like the Kalen Bullock pick.
Yeah, I tried not to just like copy paste my worst value and biggest regret. I tried to make those things different. Like I tried to make biggest regret be like, oh, that we didn't get this position or that this guy went off the board a pick or two before us. Here, I just had to copy paste it. It was Blake Fisher. Yeah. That's the biggest regret. Because I couldn't really come up with a lot else. Overall, outside of Fisher, I thought they did a fairly good job. They had three top 100 picks. They got four of my top 100 players. I gave them a B. But, you know, it's hard to have a real exciting draft when you don't have a first round pick. Just think of Will Anderson as part of that draft class, I guess, if you're a Texans fan.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't maybe package those twos to try to move up maybe into the back end of the first.
Yeah, that is interesting to think about. So, OK, let's go to the Jacksonville Jaguars. They drafted Brian Thomas in the first round, Mason Smith and Jaren Jones on day two, and then on day three, Javon Foster, Jordan Jefferson, Deontay Price, Keelan Robinson, Cam Little, and Miles Cole. I had my best value as Brian Thomas Jr. He was my number 25, and they took him at 23. And so, like, my best value for them is a guy that I would say they overdrafted. However, at least they did trade back. They didn't take him at 17. They traded back from 17 to 23 to pick up pick 167 and a 3-4 next. So at least they picked up some capital there to get closer to where I had him. So respect that move. Worst value I had was – who was my worst value?
Is it Mason Smith?
Oh, yeah. I must have, like, auto-corrected in my notes to Amazon Smith. And I was like, who? Yeah, Mason Smith. He was, and I feel like I was higher on him than most. Like I had him in my top 100 at 90, and he went 48 overall. That was an egregious reach by the Jags.
Yeah, I mean the Jags watched LSU this year, so they drafted three LSU players, and they drafted four players that LSU played against. So good for Trent Baalke for having a subscription to Tiger Balls and being able to read the LSU message boards. Yeah, I mean. This is a terrible draft. It's a terrible, awful draft. One of my leading takes going into this year was that I think Trevor Lawrence is going to have a big kind of comeback season. And I think Jacksonville could easily kind of wrangle that division away from Houston in a way that I don't think anyone's talking about right now because Houston's the hot team and the team people are expecting to compete for a Super Bowl. Got to tell you, that draft, that take is feeling a little bit colder after this draft because I hate what Jacksonville did. I gave him a D-. Brian Thomas Jr., probably the right pick. I'll give them that. I think I also had it as like a slight reach, just like you did. But
it's only the right pick because they let Calvin Ridley get away, which I had down as my biggest regret for them. They pigeonholed themselves into, we must take a wide receiver, regardless of what's there. They could have used cornerback help. There were corners on the board. Terrion Arnold would have been a great pick there. But they simply had to take Brian Thomas Jr. And then I don't know what they were doing in the second round. But yeah, I'm with you. I gave this draft a D.
It's tough for me because I think Calvin Ridley kind of stinks. Like, I think that contract was really overrated. Like, I thought he got really overpaid by Tennessee. And I just thought from watching Jacksonville last year, he was not very good. Like, he had moments where he was really good, but it felt like he was so inconsistent and the effort wasn't always there. The route running was pretty terrible. I don't hate that they let him go, but I do understand if they put themselves in a tough spot. But I put my biggest regret being tricked by big people year after year. that's what they are. Trent Baalke sees size and he's like, oh my God, I can fix them.
Hey, big people beat little people, Mark.
Yeah. That's literally like Trent Baalke has that sign in his room. And anytime he's like debating two players, he just looks at him. He's like, go with the bigger guy.
All right, well, let's move on to the Indianapolis Colts. They selected Leiatu Latu in the first round, A.D. Mitchell in the second round, Matt Gonkels in the third round, and then on day three, Tanner Bordellini, Anthony Gould, Jalen Carlisle, Jalen Simpson, Micah Abraham, and Jonah Leulu. I'm butchering some of these names.
I think it's Lulau.
Okay. Whatever it is. I had my best value being Leatu Latu. He was my number 9 overall player, my top rated defensive player, and they got him at 15. I thought that's a great pick. My worst value I had being defensive back Jalen Carlisle. He was 268 on the consensus big board. They took him at 151. I thought that's just a bit of a reach there. Well, I think that's more than a bit of a reach personally. So that was my best and worst value for the Colts. What did you have?
I put my best value as Leatu Latu, who I had as my number 2 defensive player in this draft. I had him up there at number 8 overall. So I loved Latu. I thought he got, he fell too far, and 15, really, really good value there. Didn't really have a big, like a bad pick or a big regret here. I put Gonkels. I didn't have Gonkels in my top 100. He just missed it. So taking him at 79 over a guy like Pooney. But I didn't hate the pick. I get Gonkels. I have him right outside my top 100. So 3 top 100 picks, 2 top 100 players. I went with the B+. I think Latu and Mitchell carry this draft a little bit, but those two guys fell too far. And Mitchell fills a perfect role for what they needed across from Pittman. And Latu fills a perfect role for what they need on that defensive line. So really good, really, really good draft for Chris Ballard and the Colts.
Yeah, I had my biggest regret was being unable to add a cornerback on day 2. I thought cornerback was a need, but when A.D. Mitchell is there at 52, you take A.D. Mitchell. And so it's not that it was a bad decision to take Mitchell, but you know, you put some truth serum in Chris Ballard, he'd probably say, man, I do kind of wish we could have got a corner on day 2 there.
That early round 2 corner run was fast and furious. I mean, even guys like Max Melton ended up getting pushed into that kind of first 10 picks of the second round. I'd have to look at it, but I mean, DeJean was in there, TJ Tampa, TJ Tampa was a little bit later, but a ton of corners went early in that second round and pushed guys like Mitchell down.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like I said, I don't think that was a bad selection, but I do think they would have liked to have come away. What they had at 79, there was really not much left by the time 79 came around. Kalen Bullock went off the board at 78. The next corner was Tyke Smith at 89. I thought he was overdrafted. Kyrie Jackson, maybe. Run of Cooper DeJean, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Kamari Lassiter, Max Melton, Tyler Newbin, Mike Sanristil, all in a 10-pick window. Mm-hmm. Really pushed guys like A.D. Mitchell down the board to them. So comment coming in here from Anthony says, I feel like Ballard's one of the most overrated GMs. I think I would say Ballard has botched the quarterback thing. Yes. He built a great roster and refused to take a swing at quarterback because he knows if you take a swing at quarterback and you miss, you usually lose your job. And so job number one is let's keep the job. Let's keep bringing in these vets. And he finally took the swing, and I've liked what they've done in the draft the last 2 years. They just need Anthony Richardson to stay healthy this year. But I gave him a B+ for this one. I thought it was a solid draft.
Yeah. I also went B+. I guess you could argue maybe they should have taken Terry and Arnold over Latu. I had Arnold one spot higher, and corner was probably a bigger need, but hard for me to like bring that up when I just called Latu my best value. So
yeah, for sure. Okay, let's go on to the Tennessee Titans, who selected J.C. Latham in the first round, Tavondre Sweat in the second round, and then on day 3, Cedric Gray, Jarvis Brownlee, Jaquan Jackson, James Williams, and Jalen Harrell. I had my best value from this draft being linebacker Cedric Gray. He was number 78 overall for me. They got him on day 3 at 106, so I thought that was a really good value. My worst value for them was Tavondre Sweat. I had him at 51. They took him at 38. Not the biggest reach, but as we'll talk about in a moment with my biggest regret, there's some other guys I definitely would have preferred for them there. What was your best and worst value for the Titans?
My best value was Cedric Gray. I do like Cedric Gray a lot there in the fourth round. I think it was a great pick. You could go kind of, I kind of just decided to go worst value and regret two different ways, but worst value, I put J.C. Latham. I'm a lot lower on Latham than consensus. I have him 21st. I thought he really, really struggled against elite competition towards the end of the year. A little bit too penalty happy towards the end of the year as well. So especially with Fashanu on the board, Fuaga, if you were going to go offensive tackle, I just don't think he was the right answer. But my regret, I could have said something about Latham over those guys. But it just seems crazy that Tavondre Sweat went earlier than we thought he would pre-DUI. Like, I like Sweat, and I had him in the 50s, I think, or maybe the 60s, and I was, like, higher on him than most. So for him to then go 38 after a DUI just feels insane.
We both had him. Oh, no, never mind. Sorry. I had him at 51. You had him at 64.
Oh, okay. I thought I was higher on him than consensus.
I was looking at the line below him at Roman Wilson. I was going to say we both had him at 52, which is kind of wild when that happens. But my biggest regret for the Titans was not taking another offensive lineman in the second round. I didn't like the Sweat pick, but Jaxon Powers-Johnson was still on the board. Patrick Paul was still on the board. This is a team with a not very good offensive line, with a quarterback that played behind terrible offensive lines that ingrained some bad habits in college. You've got receiver figured out. You did a good job at receiver. Go get the offensive line fixed and figure out if Will Levis is the guy. So I didn't really like the Tavondre Sweat pick. Overall, I gave them a C- for their draft.
Yeah, I gave them a D+. So I'm right there with you.
All right, moving on to the AFC North. Let's talk Baltimore Ravens, who selected Nate Wiggins in the first round, Roger Rosengarten in the second round, Adisa Isaac in the third round. And then on day three, Devontae Walker, TJ Tampa, Rasheen Ali, Devin Leary, Nick Sumac, and Sanuso Kane. I probably said that one wrong too, but seventh rounders. Again, I didn't get that pronunciation guide. So I had my best value for the Ravens being TJ Tampa. He was number 43 on my big board. They got him at 130 overall. I thought that was a tremendous value pick. And my worst value for them was Roger Rosengarten, who was 71 on the consensus big board. He was a little lower than that for me. They took him at 62. I thought that was a little bit rich, but maybe that's just me. What'd you have as the best and worst value?
Yeah, right there with you on TJ Tampa. I got confused because I think I had a note here. He should have been part of that early round two run, in my opinion. And he went in the mid fourth. Like, that's how great of a value TJ Tampa was. I think he's better than some of the guys that went early in the second round. So love TJ Tampa. I love Nate Wiggins. I don't think there's that big of a gap between Wiggins and Tampa in talent level. I think both are really, really good players. But yeah, Baltimore got five guys I loved here. Like, they got five easily top like 70 guys for me with Wiggins, Rosengarten, Isaac, Walker, Tampa. Like, I just think they got great values on all of them. Wiggins, I know he's a bit polarizing. I think his knack for the ball, and he's such a sticky cover corner. If he can, you know, bulk up at all. The Ravens came out and said they're not worried at all, and they're not even going to encourage him to put size on, which is interesting. But they seem to be bullish on it, and I get it, because when you watch the tape, he is a really, really good corner. So love what Baltimore did. They had the best draft in the NFL, in my opinion, and I gave him an A+.
All right. I gave, let me tell you why I didn't give him an A+. I gave him an A-. But I put my biggest regret for them was not attacking wide receiver with urgency. We have talked for years about the Ravens not having wide receivers, and they go and they get Zay Flowers last year, and that's good. There were so many receivers in this class, and so I liked the value of Tez Walker where you got him, but I really didn't like that you made it out of day two without addressing wide receiver as well. But at the end of the day, you got four top 100 players for me with three top 100 picks. So I gave him an A-. I liked their draft. I do wish they would have come away with a receiver.
Yeah, I wonder if they like would have picked Tez Walker in the second if we feel differently about it almost, because I had Tez somewhere in the 60s or 70s. So really, really love this draft. I think Baltimore is putting themselves right in position to be an absolute Super Bowl contender yet again.
All right, let's go to the Cleveland Browns. Who didn't have a lot of draft capital. They got a second round pick on Michael Hall, third round pick Zach Zinter, and then four day three picks, Jamari Thrash, Nathaniel Watson, Miles Harden, and Joan Briggs. I had my best value. This is going to tip this one off a lot. My best value was taking Michael Hall Jr., who was my number 91 overall player at 54. So a reach of almost 40 points on the board is my best value for them. I'll let you guess the grade when we get there. My worst value was Zach Zinter. He was 113 on the consensus big board. They took him at 85 overall. And Zinter is coming off a major injury. He's behind two very well-established starters. I just don't see how this helps you out. So that's my best and worst value. What did you have for the Browns?
My best value, and the guy who I think the best guy they got in this draft, is Jamari Thrash at 156. I had him at 97, so it's not like I love the guy, but I do like Thrash at least a little bit, and I think the fit makes sense with Cooper and Judy, kind of a slot guy. So, and the worst value is Michael Hall for me. So we flipped there. I didn't have Michael Hall in my top 100. I don't get it. I don't think he's big enough to be a D tackle. I don't think he's at all fast enough or a good enough pass rusher to be an edge rusher. I don't think he's an NFL player. I'll just be quite honest about it. I don't get it. I gave them an F. They're my F of the year. They're my least favorite draft, or at least the least inspiring. And I know they didn't have a first round pick. You had a second and a third, and I didn't like either of them. So neither of them were top 100 guys for me. Sorry, F.
Yeah, if there's a place Michael Hall's going to work, it's going to be with Jim Schwartz, just penetrating one gap type player, get upfield. But you danced around it. Their biggest draft regret is Deshaun Watson.
I mean, that's what I have written down. I just decided not even to get into that.
Yeah, they're finally done paying the Piper for that trade. They get first round picks back next year, and it's been a disaster. It set the franchise back years. I gave him a D- for this draft. I didn't go all the way to F, but I really honestly I didn't like anything that they did.
Yeah, right there with you.
All right, well, let's go to a team that I loved almost everything they did.
Yes.
Pittsburgh Steelers, who in the first round selected Troy Fontenot, in the second round Zach Frazier, third round Roman Wilson and Peyton Wilson to pair with Russell Wilson. The triple Wilson. And then on day three, Mason McCormick, Logan Lee and Ryan Watts. I had my best value for them being linebacker Peyton Wilson. He was my number 54. They got him at 98. And I know there's issues with the ACL and things like that. He's a good player if he can stay healthy. And you roll that dice. I liked that. My worst value for them was a sixth round pick, because that's all I could find to quibble with. Logan Lee. And even then, he was 210 on the consensus big board. And they took him at 178 overall. And you know it's good when you're listing a sixth round pick saying, oh, they took him like 30 spots too early. So that's, Steelers, spoiler alert, that's an A+ draft for me. I thought they killed this draft.
Year after year after year, the Steelers use my big board without hiring me as a scout. And to me, I think it's just disgusting behavior on the part of Omar Khan. Just bring me in the building. I don't have a high demand, I love this draft. It got an A for me. My best value also Peyton Wilson. I'm not going to come up with a worst value and a regret. I refuse to. I love what they did. Mason McCormick, 119. I didn't have him in my top 100, but there are people who think he can step in and start day one. There are people just love this draft, and I couldn't agree more with those people. Russ going to be selling Wilson cubed merch. He should be, They went double Wilson in the draft. They have the Russell to Roman Wilson connection. I mean, that's going to be fun all year long. So I am really excited for this Pittsburgh team. I think they're going to be more interesting than they've been in a really long time.
They killed the draft. They killed the offseason. They're going to be a fantastic 9-8 team that loses on wild card weekend.
Absolutely. I think they could be a little bit more like 11-6.
I agree. We'll get to preview stuff, in future shows. And I'm a little higher on them than I thought I would be. I do think, it's funny that you see the types of quarterbacks they have right now with Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, and they spent their first and second round pick and then a fourth round pick on offensive line. It's like, these guys are going to hold the ball forever. We're just going to have to protect him. So I liked that investment. My biggest regret for them was not landing a wide receiver one. I mean, Roman Wilson is like a number three, and I think George Pickens is more like a two. But again, they really just couldn't the way the draft fell. The draft fell really well for them, and that's the way it worked out. So I did love their draft.
And I love that they have kind of the backup option of Justin Fields, where it's like you probably have like the 17th and 18th best quarterback in the NFL. So you go and get these 3-0 linemen. That this actually makes me think, like, maybe you do roll with Fields. Like, you draft all these O-linemen, you just go with, like, a run-heavy scheme with a really good O-line. I think that would be the way to go. But, yeah, let's move to the next team, because not much more – I mean, we can't say anything more positive about than what we've already said about Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm just going to plant my flag on this, but Justin Fields should absolutely be their starter week one.
I'm not passionate about it, but I agree.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the Cincinnati Bengals, who selected Amarius Mims in the first round, Chris Jenkins in the second round, Jermaine Burton and McKinley Jackson in the third round, and then on day three, Eric Aull, Josh Newton, Tanner McLaughlin, Cedric Johnson, Dejon Anthony, and Matt Lee. I had my best value for the Bengals being Amarius Mims. Mm-hmm. He was my 17 overall. They took him at 18, but I like that fit. I like the player. And in other draft classes, he would probably be higher. This was just a really loaded offensive line draft. So he was my best value. My worst value was McKinley Jackson. He was 160 on the consensus big board. They took him at 97 overall. Don't get that pick. Didn't really care for that one, especially after you took Chris Jenkins in the second round. But maybe that's just me. What was your best and worst value for them?
Yeah, my best value, I could have went with Jermaine Burton, because I do love that value at pick 80. And I think him almost similar to, like we said about Xavier Worthy, going to Cincinnati and playing with Jamar and potentially T. Higgins is a great spot for Jermaine Burton to kind of slot in as that wide receiver three. But I agree, Amarius Mims was the right pick. So I went with Amarius Mims as my best value. My worst value, I agreed with McKinley Jackson, although I will say he was a guy people were talking about as like a first round pick going into the college football season. Since he does kind of like taking those shots on pedigree guys on day two and day three, and they've had some pan out. So Eric Aull kind of falls in line with that as well. Had some injuries, but he was also kind of a high prospect at one time in the NFL draft. So yeah, interesting draft for Cincy. I went with a B, 4 top 100 picks, 3 top 100 players.
All right. I had my biggest regret was not getting a defensive back on day two. Chidobe Awuzie is gone. And so Cam Taylor-Britt and DJ Turner are your full-time starters outside. And they've only got 3 years of experience between them. And this is all for a team that wants to win a Super Bowl before guys like T. Higgins and Trey Hendrickson walk in free agency. I would have loved a Kyree Jackson pick at 97 over McKinley Jackson. And I wasn't nearly as high on nearly as high on Kyree Jackson as you were, but I would have loved that pick for them there. That probably would have pushed this draft into A territory for me, but I gave it a B+.
Yeah, I would have absolutely loved Kyree, even at pick 49. If you did want to take Jackson and you took Kyree up at 49, I would like this draft a whole lot more.
Yeah. Okay, let's keep rolling here into our final division. We're going to talk AFC West, and we'll start off with the Kansas City Chiefs, who took Xavier Worthy in the first round, Kingsley Suamatia in the second round, and then on day three, Jared Wiley, Jaden Hicks, Hunter Norzad, Kamal Haddon, and CJ Hansen. I had my best value was Kingsley Suamatia. He was my number 42 player. They drafted him at 63. He fits a huge need for them. It was a perfect mesh point of player falling meets need. So I thought that was great value for them. I had my worst value as Xavier Worthy. He was my number 36. He went off the board at 28. And then I noted he'll probably be a Hall of Famer anyways. But he was my worst value pick technically in this draft for them. What did you have?
Yeah, I absolutely love this draft for Kansas City. My best value, I went with Jaden Hicks. At pick 133, I had him comfortably in the top 100. Didn't have a bad value. But my regret would be signing Hollywood Brown, I guess, because now there's just less snaps there or less kind of reps there for Worthy and Rice. But it's not like they gave a lot of money to Hollywood Brown at all. I know that they got like a crazy deal on him, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, I just think Worthy and Rice is going to be fine. I guess you could say Rashee Rice might not play. So there's that answer. So who knows what his legal situation is.
Yeah, I had my biggest regret for them was missing TJ Tampa by one pick. TJ Tampa went off the board at 130. They took Jared Wiley at 131.
I do like Wiley, by the way.
Yeah, I don't dislike Wiley, but TJ Tampa, you lost L'Jarius Sneed. he would have fit a huge, it would have been another example like Kingsley Suamataia hit huge need, falls, great player for them. It would have been an incredible draft haul if they were able to get TJ Tampa in the fourth round too, to kind of address that Legarius Sneed hole. But I gave him a B plus on this draft. I thought they had a really good draft overall.
Yeah, I absolutely love what they did here. I went with an A minus, so I'm right there in the same ballpark as you.
All right, let's keep going with the Las Vegas Raiders, who selected Brock Bowers in the first round, Jackson Powers-Johnson in the second round, Delmar Glaze in the third, and on day three, DeCameron Richardson, Tommy Eichenberg, Dylan Lube, Trey Taylor, and MJ Devonshire. I had my best value pick for them being Jackson Powers-Johnson. He was my number 16 player, and they got him at 44. My worst value was offensive tackle Delmar Glaze. He was 162 on the consensus big board. They took him at 77. They missed Kieran Amagaju by 2 picks, and I've got to imagine that's who they were looking at. And they sort of panic picked the same position when he was off the board. But what do you have as the best and worst value for the Raiders?
Yeah, I had the best value clearly as Jackson Powers-Johnson. Incredible value there. I think I had him like 16 or something in that range. So great value to have him, get him there at 44. Worst value, you laid it out there, Delmar Glaze. My regret would be taking Michael Mayer last year. Who I loved, but now you have Bowers and it feels like you just wasted a second round pick. But new GM can't live for the old GM sins. You know what I mean? Like, you have to kind of make the pick you want to make regardless of where a previous GM made a pick. So I've changed my tune a little bit on that pick. So I love Bowers, but I kind of hated the landing spot. But I've kind of talked myself into it. B minus is what I went with.
I knew if Anthony was still watching live here, we would get a comment.
He loves Dylan Love.
Yeah, because that was his guy on Twitter a lot. He was in a lot of my mock drafts saying that it would have been a perfect draft if I took him. So
Anthony's the best. Anthony's awesome.
All right. I had my biggest draft regret was Brock Bowers. I mean, he was one of the top players, but you already spent pick 35 on Michael Mayer last year. I just would have much rather seen them take Amarius Mims, Talisi Fuaga, Troy Fontenot in the first round, and then spend that third round pick on Roman Wilson. Like, you took a tight end in the first and an offensive tackle in the third. You could have flipped that. Go get Roman Wilson in the third. Get Peyton Wilson in the third, or even one of the corners that were available. I just didn't really like that overall. I gave him a C for the draft. I didn't really love what they did, despite the Jackson Powers-Johnson pick.
Yeah, I struggle with it. It's like Bowers my number 5 guy. Powers-Johnson was my number 16 guy. I still like don't love what they did. Went with a B minus, but I feel like I should be higher when they got two guys I like so much.
Yeah, I think to a degree it just comes into fit and just brought fit and needs have to weigh in.
Yeah,
it's we talk about drafting for needs, and you don't want to reach for needs, but you also don't want to draft a tight end in the first round when you spent one of the top picks of the second round last year on one, because it's just not a premium position. So that's ultimately my quibble with it.
Totally.
I think he's going to be a great player, but
agreed.
All right. Moving on to the Denver. By
the way, the number one, I forgot to mention this. The number one winner of the entire NFL draft is Gardner Minshew. No doubt about it. They didn't draft a quarterback. They got Brock Bowers. They drafted Jackson Powers-Johnson. Like, Gardner Minshew is the biggest winner. He should have thrown like the party of all parties after like day three of the NFL draft in his RV.
Absolutely. Wait, didn't he sell that RV?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's got a new one, I heard. I saw something about that. He might not be an RV. He's doing something funky again there.
He might need a financial advisor if he's selling his RV to buy a new one while he's, I guess he's, I was going to say on a backup quarterback contract, but backup quarterback contract can still buy a lot of RVs.
He got a nice chunk of change.
Yeah. Okay. Rolling on to the Denver Broncos, who selected in the first round, Bo Nix, in the third round, Jonah Ellis. And then on day three, Troy Franklin, Chris Abraham, Chris Abrams, Roderick Estime, Devon Vele, and Nick Gargiulo, whatever. I should have tried a second time. I had my best value as Troy Franklin, who was my number 48 player, and they got him at 102. My worst value was Bo Nix, who was my number 59 player, and they drafted him at 12 overall. I don't need to ask what your worst value was, because I already know it's Nix. What was your best value, Franklin?
Yeah, I love Troy Franklin. Had him 30th overall. I'm not as against the Knicks pick as the Penix pick, though, weirdly, just because Denver did have such a desperate need for quarterback. You have such limited resources if you're Denver cap wise to go out and get a quarterback. At least you didn't trade up and mortgage the future for anybody else that you weren't sure of. So I get it. It's a bad pick. Would I have done it? No. But at least they didn't, you know, you have to take a chance, I guess. I don't know. I'm kind of talking myself like, I'm trying to talk myself into it not being the worst pick. But yeah, it's a bad pick. Not filling quarterback before being desperate is the regret. But Troy Franklin, what an incredible value. This is the toughest draft for me to grade overall because I love the value they got with Franklin. I like the value they got with Ellis. I love the value they got with Abrams Drain. I love the value they got with my brother, Audric Estime. I mean, I botched that. I absolutely botched that. That's me being delirious. Audric Estime's brother follows me. And I tried to like work that into a joke and I called Audric Estime my brother. Although,
I thought you were just going with the Notre Dame connection.
We are Notre Dame brethren. We are Notre Dame brethren. But that was me botching. His brother does follow me. So shout out to Kevin Estime. But I gave it a C. They got five top 100 players with two top 100 picks for me. So I feel like I have to reward that even if the first pick stinks.
Yeah, I did reward it by giving it a C- because I hate the first pick. That two top 100 picks, five top 100 players for me. But you botched. I did not like what you did at 12. My biggest regret for the Broncos is mishandling the quarterback position since John Elway retired. It's been bad. So,
but you're with me that it wasn't as egregious as the Penix pick, just given the situation, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at least Bo Nix is going to play sometime in the next 3 years.
He should start day one.
He should. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, moving on to our last team here. It is the Los Angeles Chargers, which peek behind the curtain here. I was trying to pull these Pro Football Reference charts up before we started the stream, and you guys probably can't see because it's a little smaller on your screen, but you can get the team's draft history, and it's, you know, Pro Football Reference / team / and then the team abbreviation / draft. And so I was trying to like copy paste and just put in, you know, the names, and some of them are weird, like, you know, some of them are right, like PHI is Philadelphia, but then you've got weird ones like New England isn't NE, it's NWE. But then you get the Los Angeles Chargers, whose abbreviation is SDG. Throwback to being the San Diego Chargers. How many years ago was that? I don't even remember. But anyways, I digress. They took Joe Alt in the first round, Ladd McConkey in the second round, in the third round, Junior Colson. And then on day three, Justin Aboyegbe, Tarib Still, Cam Hart, Kamani Vidal, Brendan Rice, and Cornelius Johnson. I had my best value as Cam Hart. He was my number 104 player, and they got him at 140. I had my worst value as Tarib Still, who was 221 on the consensus big board, and they took him at 137. What'd you have as best and worst value?
My best value, you already know. Another one of my Notre Dame brethren. It's Cam Hart. I mean, that's my guy. I love Cam Hart. I think he should have been like a late second, early third round pick. So to get him in the fifth round is stealing. My worst value is actually Ladd McConkey. And I know that this is controversial. I'm a lot lower on Ladd than consensus in a draft with so many amazing receivers. You know, I would have taken a Troy Franklin, an A.D. Mitchell, a Jalen Polk, a Roman Wilson. There's some other names I could throw out there, but I just wasn't nearly as high on Ladd as consensus. And kind of a macro take here, Rome Odunze and Patrick Paul. Or Joe Alt and Ladd McConkey.
I hate you for this because I was about to bring this up. So I literally wrote biggest regret, and I was saying this live on the draft show. I did not like the Joe Alt pick because I said there's so many offensive tackles. You could get one. Go get not taking Rome Odunze at 5 or trading down with the Titans even and taking him at 7.
Yep.
And then you could have moved back up to go get, I said Tyler Guyton.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's fine too.
And I know you weren't as high on Guyton as I was, but I would have much rather had Odunze and Guyton via a small trade up than Alt and McConkey. Or in your scenario, Odunze and Paul rather than Alt and McConkey. So I wish they would have gone Odunze at 1. Just, I mean, Alt's a slam dunk pick. I think Odunze is too. And you can argue offensive lineman's more important, but just the way that the draft was going to shake out, and without the benefit of hindsight, I was saying it on the draft show, I would have rather seen them go wide receiver first, offensive lineman second.
Yeah, it's tough for me to grade this draft because I agree with you totally that I just think that just like from a stylistic team building perspective, I didn't like the choices they made there. I would have went Odunze, Paul. I think Odunze with Herbert could have been really, really fun. But three top 100 picks, five top 100 players. And I love what they did on day three, maybe as much as any team in the league with Cam Hart. Could you throw that back up on the screen or did you X out of that?
Oh, shoot. I X'd out of it, but really I'll get it back.
No. I lost it. Kamani Vidal. Oh, I got it. They have Cam Hart, Kamani Vidal, and Brendan Rice. Three straight picks. Those are all three guys that I liked a lot. Brendan Rice made my top 100. Cam Hart was like top 60 for me. And then Kamani Vidal just missed my top 100. By the way, bonus for the fantasy, last minute here as we're ending the pod. Kamani Vidal, deep sleeper. I think Kamani Vidal this year will have a moment where it's like, you know who you have to pick up in fantasy? Kamani Vidal. That's my take.
All right. So there you have it. That is our AFC draft grades. Again, if you are a fan of an NFC team and you're like, why didn't they talk about our team? It was last week's episode. So go and check that one out. Mark, we've done it. We're through the draft. I don't know what we're going to talk about between now and September, but we're going to come up with some stuff we always do. There will be head coach rankings, quarterback rankings. We'll probably draft another expansion team this year, maybe an all under 25 team. But those are all things we did last year. So if you guys enjoyed particularly any of those shows, or if there's some other random topic you would like to see us do this off season, hit us up on Twitter. Let us know. You can also join the Edge Philly Sports Discord server and you can chat with us in there. But this is us officially soliciting creative ideas from you guys for upcoming podcasts. But we'll be back next week talking about something. It'll be fun to kind of wing a podcast, be a little zany without having to like, man, the draft, not to complain because I love what I do, but the draft is a drain by the time you get to the end of it. I'm ready to touch some grass, play a video game, read a book. It's going to be great. If I can stop installing floors in my house, it's going to be awesome.
Agreed. I can't wait. I love these things, preparing for these drafts and making little cheat sheets. I love it. So can't wait for the off season. It'll be August and it'll be fantasy draft season and, NFL futures season before we know it.
All right. Well, that is going to do it. Thank you guys for joining us for episode number 157 of Chalk Talk. If you enjoy what you heard on the show, and we know that you do, make sure you smash that subscribe button, turn on notifications so you don't miss our next episode. Drop us a 5-star rating wherever you stream your podcasts. You can follow me on Twitter and YouTube at Shane Half NFL. You can follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Henry Jr. And we will catch you guys next time.